You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Jay here for Stretford Paddock, and this is the Manchester United versus West Bromwich Albion Premier League preview. Joining me is usually my co-host on the Tier 1 Transfer Podcast, but a bit different today. Ronaldo Brown, how are we doing, mate?
I'm doing great. I'm doing quite well, actually. Well,
you've gone down then.
I'm doing great.
I'm doing quite well, actually. Satisfactorily. Actually,
you know what? I wanted to be a little bit... I thought maybe I was a bit too hyperbolic, if you like that word.
So hyperbolic, yeah, okay.
So let me bring it down a notch. Well, all I'm saying is I'm doing great. Thanks for asking, and I'm sure all the subscribers out there are happy that I'm doing all right.
Well, forgive me if this is hyperbole when I say that Manchester United need a win, don't we, against West Bromwich Albion at Old Trafford. We've lost three, drawn one out of the first four games, Premier League games at Old Trafford this season, which is pretty disastrous. West Bromwich Albion, just been promoted, not doing too great. I mean, I feel like we say this almost every week when we chat, whatever show we're on and we chat about it, but Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is under a little bit of pressure, isn't he? And he needs a win. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong at all. This is a must win. After the kind of dodgy start that we've had and everything that's happened, and now that we're starting to pick up a little bit of momentum or gradually finding our feet again, these are not the games that you want to slip up on. I don't want it to be a situation where constantly throughout the season we're taking two steps forward, one step back, and then one step forward and then two steps back. I don't want that unpredictability. I don't want that inconsistency, because that is a sign of not a very good team, because the best teams are consistent. And if we're not dropping points to 18th place, West Brom doesn't bode well. And I know sometimes we like to say United kind of play to competition sometimes. And then when you play against the big teams, we kind of raise our game. And then when we play against the so-called little teams, then we kind of drop our standards a little bit. We can't afford to do that. We need to be more ruthless and win the games that we need to win.
But even like the smaller teams like Crystal Palace and Arsenal, we've struggled against them.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's been like the bigger teams. Like, where you've not performed, you know. I mean, yeah, no. It's been us almost across the board.
If you're losing against the likes of Arsenal and the likes of teams as low down as that, like teams aren't very big, it's not a good sign. And obviously, when you are playing against bigger teams like that are not like Arsenal and Crystal Palace and stuff, the likes of obviously Chelsea, United. Well, not playing ourselves, but Chelsea.
United versus United.
I think we'd lose that game too, but Chelsea, City, and so on. But what we need to do is just, I don't even care about how well we play. I just need us to get 3 points and move on.
I'm with you. I do think, for me, it's all about the 3 points, because, you know, we could have the greatest performance you've seen. Yeah. And unless we win, no one will care. People won't go, "Oh, the referee," or "we were unlucky," or "we hit the post 10 times," whatever. It'll be about the win. We need those 3 points. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we got away with it a little bit against Brighton away when it was like, you know, the penalty after the final whistle. Well, to be honest with you, we were second best throughout that game, really. Yeah. Where Brighton hit the post, was it five times or something? And defensively, we were a shambles. But the fact is, we got those 3 points, which now look, you know, invaluable. We need more points and we need to start winning, especially at home. I know there's no crowd there or anything like that, but you can't be losing 4 of your first 5 home games, can you?
No chance.
Unreal.
It's showing how times will change going into... You're going into a game against West Brom.
West Brom. Eight games in? This will be our 8th Premier League
West
game.
West Brom
and we're
at
talking
home.
About must win? Jesus, what?
West Brom at the Theatre of Dreams. I'm looking there, but I need to be looking at the camera lens right there. But
I'm glad you're keeping us updated on what you need to be doing and what you're doing. That's nice for the viewers to know. But directing yourself as you go.
Authenticity, innit? That's what you're here for. But... against West Brom at home, it should normally that would be a formality, but nothing really is these days when it comes to United. But I'm still fairly confident, as I always am in my team, that we'll get the job done.
What do you put this season's? You call it inconsistency, right? And you're absolutely bang on. United are currently sat in 14th, which says it all. But what do you put that down to? Because you say it's inconsistent, but why are we so inconsistent? Because I don't remember, and as a United fan who's been there just about to sort of remembers all of the Fergie era, you know, the very end of the Atkinson era, the Fergie era, I've never seen a team take inconsistency to this level where you can batter Leipzig 1 week.
Leipzig.
Hey, professionalism on this preview. Hey. You can batter Leipzig 1 week. You can beat PSG. I know this is in the Champions League. You can even go away to Newcastle, who are doing okay, and give them a good hiding. Yeah, you can't beat Palace at home. You can't beat Arsenal at home. You know, the best result you've had at home is an absolute bore fest against Chelsea. Why are we seeing such extremes? What do you put that down to?
I don't know, man. It's just coming back to the consistency aspect of it. And I know sometimes we kind of attributing that to possibly the management of, like, are the players going into each game feeling the pressure or feeling the kind of motivation that is required at that level of football to get the job done and be 7 out of 10 every single week. I think it's too much, two peaks and troughs. It's like one of them where one game, half the team's 4 out of 10, 1 7. Another game, there's a few that are 8 out of 10, a few fives, and then a bunch of threes. There's no real games where everyone's just 7 out of 10 at least, and it's very rare. And I don't know if it comes down to the fact that we've got players that are just sometimes don't have the kind of fire and the hunger that you need, especially in the Premier League. Because sometimes we say, obviously, West Brom should be a formality. We do know it's still the Premier League, and anything can happen on any given Sunday or Saturday, whichever day that you play. Day you play.
So it's not American football.
It's the NFL call come out. That's how they kind of talk about any.
I only know that because I've seen the film.
Yeah,
but no, you're talking there about motivation. Now, some of these players, maybe they're not up for it, or maybe you know that maybe it's the management that's got to come up. Surely, if you're stepping out for Manchester United Football Club, you should be giving your all. And also, surely you should have some professional pride where you're going into a game and you're thinking, we're at home, okay, there's no crowd. We've not had a good start to the season. We need to turn up. We need to put a performance in. Surely motivation shouldn't be a factor, should it? Because what are these players? They're going out thinking, oh, you know, if we lose today, such is life. I want a bit more than that.
That's the modern footballer, it seems. I don't know how to kind of sum it up, but it's like I'm trying to find excuses for him when I shouldn't really, because simply it's just not good enough when you're not winning games you should be winning and you're not putting the performances in and you're not showing the kind of, you should be able to, footballers or players or the United team should look as if they care just as much as the fans do or just anyone to do with the club.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's your job and you're putting on that shirt and going out there and then you're not just representing yourself, your family and the club, but you're representing a large fan base. Because I personally think there's a little bit of it, just I go out and if I play well, I play well, if I don't, I don't.
I've said this before about some players in his team, and I don't want to single him out. He's had a lot of grief lately, and some of it's completely unwarranted. But I've always said about Pogba, for example, that, and I'm not just blaming him for the recent results, but one thing I think about Pogba is I do think he's motivated. I do think he has that desire to win. Mm. I think maybe a criticism you could aim at is that he doesn't hate losing enough. I think certain types of players at United where they absolutely hate losing. And when I think about the great United players, you know, throughout the years that I've seen, the likes of Brian Robson, the likes of Roy Keane, the likes of Wayne Rooney, you know, the Rio Ferdinand, no matter what, they hated losing. And I think sometimes with our players, you get the impression that, yes, they don't like losing, but they don't hate it in the sense that it's sort of like, right, you know what, I'm not having that again. Because we've gone through a stage where in the past, you know, Old Trafford has been a fortress, or we've had these wonderful runs, even under Ollie, we've had, you know, decent runs and what have you. But at the minute, we just can't get going. You talked about momentum before. Momentum this season has been winning one Premier League game.
Momentum's two game is basically two games.
Have we even won back-to-back games in the Premier League? I don't think we have we?
And I don't think we have
this
I'm not quite sure if we have, but it's true. It's basically
I'm pretty sure.
Character-wise, it needs to hurt to lose, and that might be the issue. But I don't know. It feels like we're kind of reaching, trying to figure out reasons why we're kind of up and down with our performances, and it just comes down to players needing to make sure that they give their all, basically, because a lot of it is when we see bad performances from United, we can't always say, but they tried though. A lot of the time when we do lose, it's kind of one of those energy sapping losses where it didn't seem as if the players cared. It's a bit flat, or there's not enough hunger, there's not enough fire from the performance, because sometimes you can play like that and play with that and show that and still lose the game. But when we lose, it's just the complete bottom barrel. Everyone's been shocking, but it didn't seem like
there has been a lot of that this season. You're right, because the obvious example is the Spurs game, where even the Palace game, go back to the first game of the season, but especially the Spurs game, where you can almost say every single player was piss poor. And not just poor, but like making just basic errors. And you look at it and you think, what is going on? And you spoke about earlier, when we first started the preview, you spoke about management. And obviously, when you talk about management, I don't think you're talking about Kieran McKenna and Michael Carrick. How much responsibility does Ole Gunnar Solskjaer have to take for getting his players motivated, the results we've seen, the mistakes we've been seeing? Is that on him, or is it a case of it's not his fault that Harry Maguire heads a ball straight up? It's not his fault that if we're looking at Europe, you know, players are letting a 35-year-old Demba Ba have the full length of the pitch to run onto or whatever. How much of it is his fault? Do you think he's got to be more culpable with these results?
I don't know. I'm thinking when I mention management, I speak about it in an aspect of how he kind of hold players accountable. Like, I think if you're a coach that shows a bit of that, like, I can't be fucked with, or holding players accountable, or making sure that they don't drop their level, like having a kind of strict enough regime in place in terms of the way you kind of carry yourself in certain aspects of your management, players will be less inclined to try and dip below that. Because I've spoken about this with you a lot. I know he comes across as a very nice guy. You know, he's very happy-go-lucky. He seems like he can be your best mate. He obviously will have the killer like kind of mentality side of him that he would have probably adopted from his playing days at United with the players that were in that squad, but it's just about whether some of the players kind of fear him enough. I don't know if they not so much fear him, but like they're not as comfortable in being lethargic and complacent in their performances, knowing that they won't get a hairdryer from Ole. You know, that kind of do you know where I'm coming from?
I get where you're coming from, but like there's this sort of criticism that's leveled at Ole quite a lot, in that he can be a soft touch, or that he's not, you know, he's almost taken the idea of being the anti-Jose Mourinho, where Jose Mourinho could be quite hard on players and whatnot, and Ollie's more sort of put his arm around a player. He's still almost taking that too far now, where you've got players that perhaps don't respect him or aren't listening to him enough or whatever. But we have seen that sort of tough side to him. The famous clip that sort of became a meme was, you know, when he was shouting at Jesse Lingard at the Etihad, you know, one more of that and you're off. We've also spoke to the likes of, you know, James Cooper. I spoke to James Jackson the other week, who wrote a book on Ole. And it's like, he isn't this soft touch that perhaps some people think, because, you know, this is a guy that he has got a tough streak to him. You know, I know it sounds a bit sort of a daft time, you know, but he's battled through a lot. He had injuries when he was a kid, I think, at Norway. He's battled through that. He's got to Manchester United, became Manchester United manager against all the odds. And you've got to have a bit of toughness. You've got to have a toughness to survive the Norwegian winter, for God's sake. But he has that. I think he has that little bit of toughness. We saw it as a player. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as a player, he was not a soft player. He wasn't someone you'd see rolling around on the floor, holding his ankles every 5 minutes, crying to the ref. Do you know what I mean? He was someone who could, he could take some tough challenges, and he always got back up. So I do think there's that toughness there, and I think that sometimes, you know, that is overlooked. But there's no doubt that motivation-wise, that maybe there needs to be something there where, you know, I don't know, does he need to perform more in front of the cameras? Would that put your mind at rest, do you think?
I'm not
shouting in front of everyone, because I think sometimes, you know, people buy into that when they see a manager on the touchline giving it all out, but how much is that is actually doing anything?
Yeah, but I'm just theorising, really. It's not
I know you've not got the answer. I don't mean to go, I'm just
putting things out there. Yeah. But obviously I don't definitively know the answers, because obviously it's football and football's not linear, but it's just one of those where I'm just sick of countless games where we start slow or it's flat, or we even come out of half time flat, and then I immediately, as some player, just think that must be down to a managerial issue. As it is, obviously the players are out there playing, but I just felt like, as someone who played, when teams start flat, that's down to coaching and managing before the game, and maybe the warm-up, and then half-time, when you come out slow again and you don't come out and kick on from half-time, that's a team talk.
Yeah.
That's just how I kind of see it. Could be wrong, but that's just my opinion.
No, I think that's a fair comment. I mean, listen, you know, I hate getting into the whole Ollie in and out nonsense, but I'm a big fan of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I can see what he's trying to do, and I have been very supportive of him on this channel, and, you know, when we were allowed in the ground and what have you. But, you know, he has to take some responsibility, and there's no denying that so far the performances and the levels haven't been good enough. Hopefully, the recent win against Everton can kickstart us. It can be something we can build on, because collectively, as bad as some of the performances have been collectively by United this season, collectively, that was one of our better days. I mean, I think you look throughout that team, okay, maybe our attackers weren't all, you know, at the top of the game, but especially in midfield and defence, it was a much more enthusiastic and exciting performance than we've seen in recent weeks. So, you know, tentatively optimistic. Looking at West Brom, not looking at West Brom at all, ignore me. Looking at your predicted 11, even, how long have I been doing this for? I'm still getting it wrong. Your predicted 11, who have you gone to start this game against West Brom? This mouth-watering, epic mid-table or relegation battle six-pointer, who's in your 11?
Well, my 11 is, I've gone for the fancy dance. What? Fancy dandy?
I don't know. You say these things fancy to me, right? Dandy. Like I'm going to help you out and tell you what you're trying to say, but I've no idea what you're on about. The fancy dance? What do you mean?
Basically,
the fancy dance? No, let's not move on. Let's talk about this. I've gone with the fancy dance.
What's
right, now, I've never played football to your level. I know that. But I've never heard the expression, today, lads, we're going with the fancy dance. Is this what is this? Is this what Alison tells you at Paddock FC?
Fancy dandy. What? Yeah, I'm moving on. Anyway,
if you can help us out in the comments, tell me WTF he's on about, then please, because I haven't got a jar of glue. Right. You've gone with the formation. What is it? And I've try not to use fancy pants analogies. I've gone for
the very fancy formation. It can be a 3-4-1-2. Whether you'd like to see it that way, or whether you'd see it as a 5-3-2. But the team that I've gone for is De Gea in goal.
Controversial.
Centre backs of Tuan Zabi, Lindelof, and Maguire. Right wing back, Wan-Bissaka. Left wing back, Telles. CDM, Fred. Pogba, Fernandes. And up front, Martial and Rashford, if he's fit.
Yeah, a small caveat that, you know, things could change. We haven't got the team news yet, as in terms of who's fit for the squad and whatnot. So, you know, you may well be looking at a team going, oh, actually, the news has come out that so-and-so's injured. Why have you included him? At the time, these players, as far as we know, are available. So I understand why you're going with that. Looking at your fancy pants formation
fancy,
here.
Fancy pants? That might have been... No, it wasn't it, but...
I'm glad we're getting somewhere. You've gone for a back three. Why not a flat back four? Why have you gone for a back three or a five? I know what you mean when you've not got the ball. That sometimes reverts to a five. Why have you gone with wing backs?
I don't think I've been too pleased with our wing play in general. I know it's wide areas is not somewhere that we kind of filled with depth. But I looked at the fact that this is a formation that West Brom often play. I'm not pointing out there that United...
I'm worried here now.
Yeah, that United obviously are trying to mirror...
Just David Moyes tackle. We're going to make it as hard as possible for West Brom's
formation.
They won't want to come here to Old Trafford, trust me.
But I feel like with the current setup of the team as it is, I don't see how with Teller. I think a lot of it comes down to the fact that obviously Luke Shaw's injured.
Yeah.
And Teller's has to come into the team. And yeah. I think you get
if
the best
if he's fit, as far as we know if he's fit, you know.
But you COVID get the best out of Teller's in a, as a left wing back.
Yeah.
And I think this formation suits him more. And having Rashford and Martial up top, it allows him to be a little bit more fluid in their type in their movement, and obviously it doesn't kind of narrow Rashford off to the wing. He can be a little bit more central where he can be a little bit more dangerous. Martial can be central where he likes to. They can both drift out to wide areas if they feel like they need to. I just feel like that formation offers a little bit of versatility that could be well and truly needed when you're up against a team that is obviously an underdog and might make it a bit more difficult for you. It can look like a very defensive formation at first glance, but it could also be a very offensive one. And I think if you've got West Brom doing a little bit of a low block, if they possibly do, or if they go for the formation that they are quite showing, wide areas then do become important, especially if they're compact and narrow. So as I see it, I think if they, we get up the ball a lot in the final third, and then we can utilise Alex Teller's and his delivery and Wan-Bissaka on the right.
Is West Brom's low block as effective as Mostyn Brooks?
I was thinking, why were you sniggering? I thought something was coming.
Let's move on because I never want that what went down there to come out. Right, looking at your team here. Yep, I agree with a lot of what you said. I like Alex Teller's in the team if he's fit. As a wing back, utilising his ability to get down that left-hand side and whip that ball in. We saw it against PSG briefly. That's all we've really seen of him so far this season for United. But you can tell straight away he's got an absolute wand of a left foot, as they say. And he was picking out players left, right and centre.
Yeah.
So hopefully he can do that. For Anthony Martial, because Anthony Martial hasn't scored in the league this season. I know he's got a couple in the Champions League. And it is a little bit of a worry. Not in the sense that I'm worried about Andy Martial. And I don't think he'll score loads of goals this season because I do. But as a striker and as an attacker, he's going to want to get off the mark in the Premier League, isn't he? Because so far in the Premier League, you know, he's had more red cards than he's had goals. And also his stats, I'm not all into stats because I think sometimes it can be misleading. But, you know, if you do care about that sort of thing, they don't look great. Is it like no chances or no shots or whatever it was? I was reading the other day. So he could do with getting off the mark. And hopefully, do you reckon that Alex Teller's could be the man to help unlock it for him?
Yeah, hopefully. And with Martial, obviously, his performances have not been amazing. His form's not been great. But there's only way to turn that around is to play and score. So I think against West Brom, obviously, against a bit of a lesser opposition, and hopefully against a team that we'll be able to get enough chances against, hopefully this is the kind of game that he could help get Martial off the mark, because obviously I still believe in him and I think his quality. And he had a great season last season, and it's not too late for him to turn it around this season either. So
no,
I would stick with him.
Of course not. I know I agree with him with all you said there as well. And just finally on that team, you happy with Rashford and Martial? Because obviously you're happy with you've gone as a predicted 11, but do you think that could work? Because there's always been this question mark of whether those two as a two can play together. We've seen them more or less as a three at times, where you've got Rashford on the left, Martial in the middle, Mason or even Dan James, whoever, on the right. Do you think those could work as a sort of old-fashioned centre-forward pairing, or do you see it being a little bit more of Marcus peeling off?
I think it could work. And I think totally think it could work. That's why I've gone for it. But
no, but yeah.
Yeah, but...
that's not necessarily your team that you think
exactly.
should be picked. That's your predicted 11, isn't it?
Exactly, but good players can generally work it out. And I think I've seen enough combination play from the both of them, even when they've not been playing just in complete unison as a front two, to believe that they can make it work.
Even if one of them's wearing fancy pants.
Even if they are wearing fancy pants, they can wear whatever they want. They can wear a leotard for all I care.
There you go. It's been sort of etched in the footballing lexicon.
Wait, let me look.
Fancy pants formation.
So are we going to get
Jay's team? It's going to be a matter of time before commentators all over the world are saying he's gone with a fancy pants formation or the fancy dance formation, as Ronaldo said, which is even better. That's when you're actually dancing around the opposition. Let's have a look at my predicted 11. Not a million miles away from yours in the sense that... Well, it's a little bit different, but not in terms of personnel. The only one I've gone at the back, I've gone for a flat back four. Again, this is predicted, and I think he will go for a four at the back. I've gone with Brandon Williams because Tellez, I think, is fine, and I think this whole COVID thing was a little bit of a little bit misleading. I just don't know how match fit he is. He's obviously been doing a lot of travelling with Brazil, and I think Brandon Williams is, again, there's question marks around all our left backs, if I'm being brutally honest. But I've just gone, I think he may go with Brandon Williams, but I'm happy to be proven wrong on that because I'd love to see Alex Tellez. Like yourself, I've gone with Fred as a sort of CDM, mainly because I want to see Pogba and Bruno start together. And I thought Fred had a fantastic game against Everton, where I know he had McTominay alongside him, but I thought he played really well. I thought, for me, he was man of the match. I know that sounds crackers because Bruno was so effective, but he was. I thought he had a fantastic performance against at Goodison. So, gone for him. Pogba and Bruno, self-explanatory. Want to see a bit more from them. Also, I've gone with Marcus on the left. I think that's where he's most effective, and I think that's where Ollie prefers him. Martial up top, said enough about him. Expect him to get amongst the goals soon. Hopefully, West Brom at home would seem like the ideal opportunity for him to do that. I've gone with Dan James because I feel like Ollie still rates him. I know there's a lot of people that question Dan James. I understand it because his performances haven't been that great, if we're being brutally honest. But if you are going to have a three, we don't know what the scripts is with Mason Greenwood yet as to how fit he is or ready to come back into the first team. I'd love to see Mason Greenwood start. I think that'll put a lot of the nonsense to bed as well that we've seen about him recently. But I have a feeling that we may just see Dan James. Because I think despite the fact United are struggling, despite the fact we've said this is a must-win game, despite the fact Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's under pressure, I still feel we don't have to necessarily play our strongest possible team. You can still say, all right, maybe if Mason's not 100%, I can put Dan James in and we can still get away with it. Because if you look at it, Bruno, Pogba, Martial, Rashford, Fred, Lindelof, Maguire, Wan-Bissaka, De Gea, and probably Dan James walking a West Brom's team.
I'm not sure Daniel James. Actually, that's a different story of a different day.
I mean,
but we don't possibly. But see, football doesn't always work.
I know. That's me oversimplifying things.
Oversimplifying it
somewhat, because if you look at the form between the two teams, the two clubs, the last time we played. I'll tell you that, I'll set the scene for you here. April 2018. What happened in April 2018? Do you remember?
Yeah, I do.
Go on.
It was spring.
That's the sort of insight you get on this channel when me and Ronaldo are together. Yeah, you don't get that anywhere else. And you get it for free as well. Yes, it was spring. But other than that, apart from that, we went to the Etihad, went 2-0 down. Yeah. City were about to win the league in front of us, and we beat them 3-2.
3-2. Oh, was that fantastic? Was that when Pogba owned the second half?
Owned the second half, and Chris Smalling pops up as well, I think, with a goal. Fantastic. West Brom next week. We'll prolong them winning the league a little bit longer as well. We'll easily beat West Brom at home. They're practically relegated. No, we won't. We lost 1-0. It was shocking. So we went from beating City to losing to West Brom. So we can't take anything from
that. So basically, we've got 1 point from the last two games at home against them.
Do you know anything about West Brom? What can you tell me about them?
I know I'm a fan of Pereira.
Yeah.
I've obviously had him on the fantasy team all season, but he's been quality from what I've seen. I think he could be a bit of the one to watch.
Have we got the West Brom last lineup? Yeah. Can we just bring up the last lineup for West Brom when they played in the Premier League? Because obviously, you know, they're sitting down near the bottom of the table, 18th, which most people probably expected that, to be honest with you. They didn't invest heavily in the summer. And West Brom had a sort of a bit of a funny end to last season, didn't it? They were sort of like, they had a bit of momentum, then it went out the window. And you know, when you're looking through that team, I just sort of made a comment before that any of our 11 walks into their team.
Probably true. That team doesn't exactly strike fear into you, does it?
I mean, we're looking at here, you know, you've got the likes of Livermore, you've got Townsend, O'Shea, Bartley.
Yeah, Pereira must not be fit.
Furlong. Sam Johnson, who we all remember. Kieran Gibbs there. He's there. Do you remember him? From Gibbs, United versus Arsenal in the Champions League. I remember him. I think he made his debut in an absolute nightmare against Cristiano Ronaldo, which you can't really blame him for. But, I mean, looking throughout that West Brom team, it's not the most scary.
That
is
shouldn't
it?
Be a. But I don't want to.
Famous last words. This is where it gets clipped up and people go, well, you know, I don't want to
jinx it, but that shouldn't be a team that we should be dropping points against. And that's why, even looking at that, I think it's nothing but a win's really acceptable, really.
I mean, but you look at the some of their top goal scorers. Robson Kanu's still doing bits for him. 3 goals this season.
Robson Kanu, is that a Reading legend, basically?
He's a Welsh legend. Don't remember him in the Euros? Yeah.
Jesus.
Cruyff turn.
Is this who we're fearing?
Yes. Pereira's there. He's got 1 goal and 2 assists in 7 games. Callum Robinson as well with a few goals there. I mean, you know, this is all okay. But again, I don't want to dismiss them too much, but they're 18th for a reason. You know, they've just been promoted. They've struggled this season. They haven't had massive amounts of money to spend. So for that reason, that this is where they are where they are. And this is a game where, going back to what I said at the very beginning of the preview, there's no excuses.
That's why
can't be saying, oh, well, they've got Robinson Kanu. What do you expect us to do? Get beat?
That's what I'm saying. If looking at the lineup, looking at what we have to offer in the squad and going into the Saturday, it's time to be a little bit predictive. So, Jay, can you let me know what your predicted score is for the game?
Who the hell's just taking over presenting this? I asked the son, eh? Hey, we'll talk about this.
It can be fluid.
I'm only joking. Can be fluid. Ronaldo. Just some of the examples, some of the laughs we have.
Can be fluid, innit?
It can be fluid. I like what you've done. My predicted score, I'm going to go with, I think, I don't know, maybe I'm getting carried away and giddy because of the Everton result and the fact that we've just sort of planted our flag about West Brom not being very good, so now I've got to salute it. So I'm going to say 3-0 United. I'm going to go Anthony Martial to get off the mount with an hat trick.
All right, I'm going 3-1.
A Premier League map, off the Premier League map before anyone goes.
I'm going 3-1 United.
Right.
Fernandes, Rashford, and I think Teller scores a free kick.
Ooh, absolute scene. Put your bets on. Tell you what, if Teller scores, we're on the pitch. Unfortunately, we're not because we're not even at the game. Because we're not allowed in grounds, are we? Ronaldo, where can people find you? You've got loads of subs, aren't you, on your YouTube account? You were telling me just before we started.
I've got 10 subscribers for some reason.
10 subscribers, double figures.
For no videos on the way,
Well, you need to sort that out. Start doing some content. Yeah,
I do. I said I'd do it on conspiracy
theories.
That
we always say we don't want them on this channel.
I do it on conspiracy theories.
You can do a video explaining the fancy pants formation. I think that should be your first video.
I'll just clip up this and just put it on.
Right, okay. Simple. You can cross content. I'm sure that's allowed. You can find him, Ronaldo Brown.
What's Steve gonna do if I do that?
98. You know where you find me. I'm all over the channel. We'll have the watch along for the West Brom game. You're going to be doing your socials for it, aren't you? You're going to be doing the post-match stuff as well. You're going to have Adam McCall's going to be in for it. Stephen Housen's going to be in for it. Joe Smith's going to be in for it. Alex Bagger's going to be in for it. Plus, we'll have all the reaction as well. So make sure you check that out. Don't forget to hit like, share, and subscribe. This has been Stretford Paddock, West Bromwich Albion preview. Thanks for watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.